And open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. I mentioned on Sunday evening that, I had to figure this clock out because it was 7 minutes slow. Well, I have a blessing and a curse, and that my brain is I can be very compartmental in how I think. Like, I see something like that, it goes in a box, the box goes somewhere else, and I forget about it. So I hadn't thought a thing about that thing until we walked back in here. Right before the service, Brother McKeever rushed to tell me. He said, lest you think you have 7 extra minutes, I fixed the clock. So I think he was worried that he hurt my feelings, and now I'm angry and bitter at, no, I'm just kidding. So the clock's well, so we're glad for it. I could have fixed it too, I just didn't think about it, but I appreciate him catching that and taking care of it. But Ephesians chapter number 5, and we're going to read, we're of course about, this is our third message in this series, talking about the inner strength of the believer. And we started a couple services ago, verse number 18, the Spirit-filled believer, last evening service on the singing believer. Tonight we're going to talk about the satisfied believer or the thankful believer. It all goes together. We'll look at it. But let's look back up in verse number 18 and begin reading. It says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Lord, please help us this evening now as we've opened your word together. Please speak to our hearts. I pray that the word of the Lord would do its work in our lives. Be with Pastor Townsley in his travels. Give him safety. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So here is a reminder. We talked that really the first message is the key, being filled with the Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit empower us, allowing him to control us, yielding to his control in our lives. As he does that, he brings about fruit. But these things help us, as we talked last time about the singing Christian, you know, that helps us maintain that walk with the Lord, that helps us strengthen ourselves in the Lord. So tonight, look in there in verse number 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we see the satisfied Christian or the thankful Christian. A believer who is not thankful is a believer who will not remain strong in the Lord. A believer who's not thankful is a believer who will not remain strong in the Lord. There's a lot of things to grumble about. There's a lot of things to complain about. You know, when you are a part of a church, you're part of a body of believers, inevitably you're going to run across something that you find where we would be unsettled with or unhappy with or some decision that you have to make. And, you know, I don't agree all the time with all the decisions I make myself. And, you know, much less, you know, some, it's always going to happen. But we need a spirit of gratitude to help us through that. You know, a right sense of gratitude and gratefulness goes a long way to helping us through those bumpy times that we may face, we may deal with in life. You know, husbands and wives, just as an illustration, husbands and wives, if they will remain thankful for one another, you know, when the little, you know, spats might come or things might come that, you know, where somebody leaves their socks in the wrong place or, you know, whatever it might be something more dramatic than that or whatever it is, but these flashpoints might occur when we can remain thankful for one another. You know what? We start remembering beyond what is happening in the moment. We start to go back and remember the good times. We remember the steadiness. We remember the faithfulness of one to another. And so gratitude in the life of the believer is key to remaining strong on the inner man. Our gratitude ultimately springs from our satisfaction with the Lord Jesus Christ. He he ends this little phrase here talking about giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I kind of joked and I was kind of outlining what this series was going to be about, that the S here was for alliterative purposes, but really it fits well because our thankfulness as a believer will go hand in hand with our satisfaction with our Savior. If we are satisfied with Him, then why does anything else ever shake us? If He's enough, and this is a theme that I've preached not too long ago, really, that if He is enough to us, then when we don't seem to have enough physically, you know what? We can still be thankful because we're satisfied with Him. Far too often, ingratitude creeps into our lives, and it's because at some point we have failed to be satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our thankfulness is attached to that. So just as the filling of the Spirit, verse number 18, is not circumstantial, and our song, verse number 19, like we preached about last service, is not circumstantial. You can sing through any situation. That song can ring true in your heart in any situation. So just like those things are not circumstantial, our thankfulness should not be circumstantial. Our gratitude should not be circumstantial. You know, we are in we'll get to it here, but we are in an ungrateful society. I mean, the pinnacle of an exchange in our society is when someone can unveil something worse about the other person than themselves. No one is thankful for anything. We're not thankful for anything in our past. We're not thankful for anyone now who does things to help us and build a strong society. We're not thankful for anything because we're just constantly tearing each other down, constantly tearing things down. That should not be what characterizes a believer. Friend, you and I should be thankful people. So, oh, you don't understand what happened today. You know, you don't know what happened what broke in my house today. You know, you don't know the angst that's been there from, you know, trying to get my kids and, you know, get them ready for school and going back to school and back in that. You don't understand what. Listen, friend, all those things are part of life. But you and I as believers, we should be thankful. I want you to notice, first of all, I want us to think about the curse of ingratitude. The curse of ingratitude. So, well, that's a pretty strong statement. Well, I relate it that way because of this. You think back to Adam in the Garden of Eden. When he sinned in the Garden of Eden, the product of that, what happened, was all of humanity, you and I, we were all beset by the sin curse. That's what it is. It's the curse of sin on this world. Part of that is that you and I have a sin nature. That's part of that sin curse. We're all born sinners. We can't escape that on our own. That's why we needed a Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, because we're all born sinners. And part of this curse, part of this sin curse, and part of this sin nature curse that we all are born with and carry it with us, is that we are naturally not thankful. I mean, that's just the way it is. We're not. We aren't born that way. I love little kids. I like babies. I mean, I like to look at them. I like to hold them. One of my favorite things when in ministry, and of course with the coronavirus, we've had to miss a couple of these. And you know, thinking about Timmy and Shioma's baby that was born, not being able to go to the hospital. One of my favorite things is to go to the hospital with new parents and a newborn baby, and they're there, and you see them, and part of it is I'm old enough now. I get a little bit of glee of looking and going, I've been through that already, you know. But being there and seeing those babies and seeing them in church. I mean, you see them grow up around here. It's a great thing. So I love them and I enjoy them. But you know what? Babies are ungrateful. They're not. They're full of ingratitude when they're born. See. Those looking at me funny, you've never been around them, I can tell you. I mean, you know, when there's this amazing thing, you know, they can't speak words, right? But when you have a mom especially, and even a dad if he's paying attention, and that's a big if sometimes, but you kind of get in tune with that baby and they're crying, right? You know, a mother, you can be in one room and she hears that child cry in another room, and she can go, oh, they're hungry. You know, she just knows it. I mean, the kid's not there going, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. But from the way they cry, you can know, all right, they're hungry. I mean, you could tell, you know, when that, you know, hear that thud and that blood-curdling scream that follows. Y'all, they're hurt, you know. And then as it develops, I mean, you can kind of tell, they're just wanting attention. You know, there's kind of those three levels of you know, those cries. You know, not one time. I mean, you can correct me after the service if you like. Don't stand up and do it now and embarrass me, but you can correct me after the service if you like. But not one time have I seen a mother or a father that's in tune hear a baby cry and go, oh, they're just saying thank you. You know, they're just, you know, they just, the peas I mashed up for them earlier, I mean, they're just expressing gratitude for that. You know, I had to get up with them three times last night and haven't slept more than a couple hours in the last 24. They're just in there, you know, screaming out thanks, you know, to me. You know, never has happened, does it? Now, I know they can, you know, it's very quickly they start recognizing you and they start interacting and things like that. But what I'm saying is it's very clear that from birth we are cursed with ingratitude. It's about self-preservation. It's about I need food. It's about I need care. And it's about, and of course we know that's the only way they have to let us know things. And it's about those things, but it illustrates, you know what? We're not naturally grateful. It's, and so because of that, it's something that we've got to deal with all through life because we're not naturally thankful. The Bible speaks of it frequently. Pastor Townsley preached recently from this passage, but I'll read to you Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1 and verse 21, this part of Romans, again, maybe right before he left, Pastor Townsley preached from Romans 1 talking about the downward spiral of humanity, but he in when it comes to sin, but it says in Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I mean, if you think about the resume he labels people with here, it's pretty jarring. He says they once knew God. When they knew God, they knew God. But then they glorified him not as God. Whoa, boy, these people, they took God down from his rightful position. They don't acknowledge him for who he is. They don't glorify him for who he is. Oh, yeah, look, let's see what's going to accompany it. Surely, you know, they're murdering people. They're doing all this stuff, these terrible stuff one to another. And of course, there's plenty of that terrible stuff in Romans 1, but linked directly with taking God off the throne, if it were, not recognizing him for who he is, linked directly with that is this attribute of, he says, neither were thankful. So, you know, that ingratitude is directly linked to godlessness. And we say, why is our country so unthankful? Well, it wasn't that long ago we started kicking God out of things. That's right. I mean, friend, listen, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but you don't have to be a prophet to figure this out. You look back in our country's history about to where God was started to be removed from our culture and removed from our society. I mean, it outlines right with Romans 1, but you look at it from that point to now and look at where we have come, and you cannot avoid the connection between where we are at now and a removal of God from where he should be. And we are a people who once knew God. So we see it on display. So it says that it's linked with godliness. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 talks about the perilous times of the last days. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. And he goes on in chapter 3 and verse 2, describing the perilous times of the last days. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Oh boy, you know, terrible, right? Men, you know, they love their own selves. Covetous, oh, that's terrible. Boasters, oh, horrible. Proud, nobody likes pride. Blasphemers, I mean, they speak out against God. Nobody likes that. Disobedient to parents, wait a second. Unthankful, that's in the right there in the list. Unholy. He's talking about all these things. Blasphemy, I mean, you know, who here would go, yeah, you know, blasphemy is a good thing. I mean, nobody, I mean, that's just repulsive to even think about as a believer. That to think about shaking one's fist at God, that's, you know, pride. I mean, God hates pride. I mean, we could go down the list and we could just nail these different sins and really have in this crowd, we could have a revival meeting, you know, about it. And then right in the middle of all that, unthankful. See, God looks at it as a very serious thing. Why? It's part of the sin curse. It's part of who we are. He talks about, this passage describes the perilous times of the last days. I always thought it was interesting, these characteristics, a couple of them. For example, the two right there at the end of the verse we just read, he said the two things, disobedient to parents and unthankful. I thought, that's kind of an interesting concept. How do you have like mass disobedience to parents and mass ingratitude? It's kind of an odd thing. It's not like it's you know, spreads like a virus does. I mean, it's kind of an odd thing. And then social media came around. And what social media does is it forms our social consciousness as a whole. And what have we seen? We've seen a proliferation of ingratitude because of it. We've seen a proliferation of defiance of parents as a result of it. By the way, it's interesting, the two things are linked, is it not? The disobedient to parents and unthankful. You know, there's few things in this world that are as sad as a child who was raised and fed by parents and was sacrificed for by parents and was loved by parents and I mean just grew up and were nurtured by parents who loved them. Say, were they perfect? No, and nobody, no parent is perfect, but they poured their life into them, poured their finances into them, poured all that into them, and then they grow up and just turn their back on their parents. Where does that come from? Ingratitude. Ingratitude. He said that's a characteristic. Ingratitude is the default then for humanity. It's always easier to grumble. It's always easier to criticize. And it's always easier to be unhappy. That's the default position. That's where, you know, you mess something up in your phone and you go in there to reset it to the defaults. I mean, that's where we go when that's where we go to naturally. We don't coast along life and turn around one day and go, how did I become so grateful? It doesn't happen that way. If we just coast through life and we're not conscious of this, what happens is the opposite. We go, wow, well, maybe one day the preacher preaches and the Holy Spirit gets a hold of our heart. We might find ourselves bowing before the Lord going, how did I get so ungrateful? Because that's the direction that we go to. That's the direction that we go toward. Young people, listen, the default position for your friend group, you know what, is ingratitude. That's why it's easier. I mean, it's easier when you're with your friends, whether online or in person or whatever, it's easier to go down a road of tearing things apart. It's easier to do that than if somebody were to speak up and go, you know, just think about something kind of, you know, fairly innocent. Like, you know, say you're at school and there's a cafeteria at school, and you know, they make food, and you go, oh, man, everybody hates the food. You know, it's terrible. You know, if a kid speaks up in that group and goes, you know what, Mrs. Jones is in there every day cooking. She goes in there early. She works hard. She sweats. I've been in that kitchen a time or two. It's real hot and uncomfortable there. I really appreciate Mrs. Jones providing that food for us every day. They're looked at as the weirdo. You know what? It's cool to be ungrateful. It's kind of the thing to be, you know, ungrateful, to find something else wrong, something worse wrong with the situation. Friend, we've got to work at being grateful. And it's not something we grow out of. It is for my age, for young people, for it doesn't matter where we are at in life. We've got to remember we have to maintain a spirit of gratitude if we are going to maintain an inner strength in our walk with the Lord, as we talked about Ephesians talking about. So we see the curse of ingratitude. Secondly, the scope of our gratitude. Back to our right in our text here in Ephesians chapter number 5. The scope of our gratitude is pretty big. He says, giving thanks always for all things. Guilty. That's all I can say. Is I'm guilty. I'll just tell you I'm guilty. I mean, think about it. Giving thanks always for all things. Well, but brother, I can't. I mean, that's what he says, right? It's what the Bible says. And furthermore, that the Bible emphasizes this truth through repetition. You learn in the Bible, and the Lord repeats things and the concepts. He's trying to get us something. Hold your finger there. Go to Colossians. Last service, we looked at Colossians as a parallel to Ephesians 5, these verses in Colossians 3, because they're very similar. But in Colossians chapter number 3, in verse 17, he says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. He's saying, if you connect, whatsoever you do, give thanks. You do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, you do it to give honor and glory to Him, and he says, and all of it, you give thanks. We could go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, I'll read it to you. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. So when you go to the Lord, we have a boldness that we are granted to enter into His throne room, Hebrews chapter number 4. But when we enter, He calls on us to enter with thanksgiving. We go with thanksgiving. That's the appropriate way to go, that we give thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I'll read this one to you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What? That's hard. I'm just confessing right now. That's hard. Not preaching, confessing. He's saying, in everything give thanks. I mean, how many things are there along the way that we face and that we deal with? We don't feel very thankful because it's not fun. It's not comfortable. It's expensive. It derails our plans. It doesn't meet our expectations. The boss passed me over. We go down the list and see all of the things that life can throw our way. I mean, the doctor's appointment didn't go well. I mean, we could go all through all these things, the news from home wasn't good. We go through all of these things, and yet through it all, the believer with the inner strength, the command is, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, for this is the will of God. So that tells us very plainly, it is the will of God for us to be thankful in every situation. Many believers torment themselves over what the will of the Lord is. Oh, if I ever talk to anybody like this, maybe, you know, as a pastor you do, and, oh, you know, if I only knew what to do. You know, if I only knew what God wanted me to do. If I only knew the, the next step to take, or if God would just show me His will, and we can agonize over it. But you know, so often He's made His immediate will to us very clear. And here is one aspect of it. He said, it is His will for us to be thankful. And everything give thanks. It is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So, say, well, I don't know, what to do. Start here. Be thankful. That's God's will. I don't know about what to do with this situation. Start with being thankful. It's God's will. And you know what happens as we start to just follow His very clearly revealed will in these areas like this, suddenly the big picture starts to come together and starts to make sense. And you know what? When we're thankful, we actually then become, and there's another word we might mention later, we become content with where we are at, and we become content with the fact that God's with us and that He is taking care of us in the present, and maybe we don't need to know the big picture just yet. His will is for us to be thankful. Don't tear yourself up about the big things until we first know that we have the little things in order. When things do not go our way, are we still intentionally thankful? A believer who is strong strong inwardly looks for God's hand in every situation and can therefore give thanks. When I was just studying, preparing for this, a character from the Old Testament came to my mind. It was Joseph. Joseph was one of my favorite Old Testament characters because of how clearly we can see God at work in his life. God, I think, gave us Joseph to show us to look beyond the present circumstances and understand that God's still at work behind the scenes. And you see the testimony of Joseph's life, and you see all of the misfortune, if you will, that he faced, the pit that he was put in by his brothers, the slavery that he was sold into, all the things that he dealt with, and yet he determined after it all that God meant it for good. So what does that mean? That even through all of that, as Joseph looked at it, he said, you know what, I'm even thankful for the pit. I'm thankful for Potiphar's house. I'm thankful for prison. I'm thankful for what Pharaoh did. All the way through, with Joseph's testimony, was a realization that I can be thankful in any situation, because if I have faith that God is at work, even though I might not be able to see Him. God might just allow something in our lives at some point that we don't understand, but that inward, the strength, talking about strength for the inner man, when we are thankful, even in those circumstances, it gives us the strength to continue going, just taking that next step. It's the will of God. It's the next step of His will. One of my favorite verses as far as ministry goes in the Bible is in Philippians. It talks about forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth, going forward. And we go forward in our day-to-day walk and in our day-to-day steps. And that day-to-day walk and those day-to-day steps are strengthened when we are day-to-day thankful. So we see the scope of our gratitude. The third thought is we see the strength for our gratitude. The strength for our gratitude. I don't know about you. I've already confessed that I struggle with it. So where do I get the strength from? I mean, we all have things that just touch us off in some way. I mean, doesn't mean we get mad. I mean, they bring us down or whatever. We all have, you know, some area. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's something else. Whatever. We all have those areas. You say, well, when I face that, I mean, how do I even find the strength to be grateful? Well, it's right here in Ephesians chapter number 5. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He mentions here God. He also then refers to Him as the Father. And then he refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. It all kind of paints a picture of where our strength comes to be thankful. He says, giving thanks always unto God. He's our God. I mean, you know what? You know what? It means that he's God. It means he's in charge. That means he's the one that's going to guide you through. Just trust him. He's the one. He's more powerful than the circumstances. Trust him. Be thankful for that. I mean, aren't you glad? Just step back. We uploaded one of our podcasts today about Elijah, about his contest with Elisha. I mean, not, I said Elisha. Ahab, there we go. His contest with Ahab and the prophets of Baal. And one of the lessons you learn from that is very simple. And that's that God is God.
That's right.
And we should know that, but we forget it practically, at least so often. We forget that he's in charge. He can change the circumstances in a moment. He can redirect the Red Sea if he has to, redirect the Jordan River. He can send manna from heaven. I mean, we can go through all these things. And listen, if you've walked with God long enough, you'll be able to point to things in your life and go, and he can do that too. So we can be thankful because we know that God's God, that he's on the throne. He says, he said, be thankful unto, giving thanks unto God. And then he goes and he says, and the Father. He reminds us that he's also our Father, which means he cares for us as his children. He is not just our God, I mean, in the sense of he is not just distant, unknowing, unreachable, untouchable. He is also our Father. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. So that means, dear child, that whatever you're in a situation, you say, how can I be thankful here? You can fall on your knees, as it were, and talk to your heavenly Father and leave it at his feet. You remember when you were a child and were able to run to your mother or your father and you were to find comfort in their arms, and how a child can do that? Friend, that should be our relationship with God, who is our Father. We can run to him in time of need. He is our God. He's in charge. He's our Father. He cares about us. And then he goes on in the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He references our Lord Jesus Christ. We can be thankful in his name. That's a reminder that he has paid the price for our sin debt. You know, the devil could, I mean, you think about Job and what he dealt with. You think, what if something happened to a believer like that? I mean, Job was a believer, but I mean, something happened now. I mean, if Satan was just allowed to ravage a life like that, say, yep, but he can't take me to hell. He can't condemn me before God. He many a time as a believer stared even death in the face with a sense of gratitude and inward strength. Why? Because of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who paid our sin debt for us. And friend, I don't care what you face tomorrow or what you're facing now. Nobody can change any of those things for a believer. And that's where our strength comes from, to be thankful. You know, you want to... It's getting easier and easier as a Christian to look like a weirdo in this world. And what I mean by that is, I mean, you know, imagine you'll be the weirdest person on your job if you just go into work tomorrow and just be thankful. Hey, isn't God good? You know, boy, what a beautiful sunrise. Oh, did you see the latest news? Did you hear what's happening? Did you hear about this? Hear about that? You know, I'm so thankful that the sun came up this morning. I'm thankful. I mean, they'll look at you like you're crazy, but you think about it and you think, well, why can we be like that as believers? Where when others might be shaking around us, where does that strength come from? It comes from the fact that he's God, he's in charge, he's our Father, we're his children, and he has paid our sin debt for us, and there's nothing the world, the flesh, and the devil can do to take it from us. And you know what, friend? If we are genuinely grateful and genuinely thankful, there will be people that notice that and start asking some questions. And that's not a bad thing, because we can then point them to where the strength comes from within us to be thankful. We can point them to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you thankful? I've already confessed I struggle with it. It's a battle. With the flesh, battles, right? Battles. But friend, we need to be a thankful Christian. We need to have the inner strength of the Holy Spirit to be thankful in our day-to-day walk with the Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for the